Well, I want you to know that before I was asked by the ones, the board and all, to be the pastor of Living Waters, about a week to 2 weeks before, the Lord said, "Well, you're going to be starting this Bible study, son." Told me the book, gave me the different sermons and all. So it's been a rich time. I was thinking of Ray back there as he talked about that fire hydrant. It's been all over the place, Ray. Talked to Brother Hawkins. He called me so sweetly last Saturday. And I said, "You know, Brother Hawkins," I said, "I'm thankful the Lord's always had me in the Word of God. But," I said, "is it just so where it's just all over you all the time?" He said, "Son, that's the way it should be." So I guess we're on the right road. Praise the Lord. Well, before we start our Bible study tonight, I wanted to just talk about a couple verses. And there's so many. I mean, I was thinking about faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. I mean, that's why we're here tonight. We're here tonight because it says to the much the more as we see that day approaching. We need the love of God in our lives. We need the Word of God in our lives. But some familiar verses that I think are so true to just think on that we know by memory, most of us, which is 2 Timothy 2:15. At 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That is one of the great reasons why we're here tonight. Again, what a privilege to serve such an awesome God that He's chosen us to be at this time, as we're going to do in this study, to hear the things that we're hearing. To have the revelation of the dispensation that Paul saw the vision of. Again, what an awesome privilege. Ephesians 4:15, once we get that, it says, "But speaking," Linda and I were talking about this, "the truth in love." So we get this truth, we get this knowledge, but by God's grace, if we don't have love, it's not going to profit us. And it's ironic because the truth of the Word of God really all is love. But it shows you it has to be seasoned with that love all the time. The glue that holds everything together. The substance of everything is the love of God. "But truth and love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." So again, by the grace of God, we're here this evening to grow up in Him, to learn of Him, to study by the grace of God, to show ourselves approved. The Lord's encouraged me to start Wednesday nights in this Bible study in the book of Hebrews. So that's where we're going to turn to this evening. And as the class that the Lord has given me over there of young people, they know we go line upon line, precept upon precept. So, it's a wonderful word and a good word. Steve, you're standing there. You okay? Okay, am I okay? It's too loud? All right. Well, somebody was sleepy. Okay. Turn it down. No. All right. But tonight we pray the Holy Spirit just take control and reveal, because that's what has to happen here this evening by the grace of God for us to get anything out of this. But in doing any study, one of the things that I've been led of the Lord so, and the kids have heard me say time and time again, there's three important things, I think, in studying. To know who's speaking, to know who's being spoken to, and what's being spoken about. And let's talk about the book of Hebrews and we'll introduce it that way. But who's speaking? Is it Jesus? Is it a prophet? You know, is it a disciple? Obviously, it's always the Lord. It's His Word. But who is the vessel that it's being used? And in this case, it's the Apostle Paul. And it's very evident that it's Paul. Some people try to say it's not, it's this. This is one of the books that he did not sign. One of the thoughts is because of the hatred of the Jews, because this book is to the Jewish Christians. At that time, they hated Paul quite a bit. I mean, you go back in there and look at, Philippians 3, 5, I believe it is, where he starts boasting about his, if you want to boast, you know, I'll boast. I was a Pharisee, circumcised the eighth day, blah, 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 blah. And he had it all. And when I say blah, blah, that's what it was. And he knew it. It was rags and dung. It was all worthless because it wasn't the righteousness of God, which was all in His Son. And He knew that. So that is probably one of the greatest reasons why we don't see His name there, possibly. But He wrote this book. Schofield has a couple good notes that will prove that for you. I won't turn there tonight. I don't want to belabor that. But chapter 10, verse 34, and chapter 13, verses 22 through 24 of this book talks about the writer's imprisonment, about his confinement and his joy in writing this book to these people. And I think at this time, if you look at the time that it was written, it solidifies that it is Paul. But most importantly, you look at the hand and the brushstrokes of the words in this, and you can see that it's got Paul all over it, as we'll study. So that's a precious thing. Also in Romans 9, verses 1 through 4, and I would like to read that because it showed just Paul's great love for his kinsmen. Again, that's Romans 9, verse 1 through 4. It says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. Now, Paul was given to the Gentiles, but he had great love for everyone. He loved all the saints. He loved his brothers. Those that mocked, tried to kill him. He had great compassion. So I think all these things obviously point to Paul in that, and I think it's important. So again, who's speaking? What's being spoken about? If you can tell me all what Hebrews is spoken about, I haven't met anybody. So by the grace of God, we're gonna just, as Brother Hill would even say, I've just begun. I'm just going to try to just scrape the surface of it. Praise the Lord. But what's being spoken about here? Well, his death is referred to 24 times in this book. He's dealing with these Jewish Christians. They're having a hard time. They're being fought by their kinsmen. Christ has come. He has revealed himself. It was the Lord. It was their Messiah. This is the proof back to them and Paul's defense of the gospel to these people. A precious book. And one word that stands out many times, Brother Copley talks about this, is better. And this is, praise the Lord, just all over me and you. It's better. We had, as we're going to read here in the first part of this, we had prophets, we had all these different things. But then we had the Son language, and we're going to get there. He brought it all in. You know, we had that Easter time, and he rose. He ain't there no more. And the Comforter come. And he's going to lead you into all truth if you let him. And that's the Son language. And it could only be revealed by the Holy Spirit. We're going to find that out. The oil of his gladness we're going to read about tonight by the grace of God. Hallelujah. You want joy in your life? You want that joy unspeakable? Oh, that you just can't even fathom. And full of glory, that's the Holy Spirit. Praise God. And again, to who? The Jewish Christians. So let's go ahead and read the full chapter, and then we'll go back and start through the verses. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being in the brightness of His glory, and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Praise God. See, when he went up, when he took that one that said, "Oh, Lord, remember me." Oh, well, he took him into paradise. Oh, yeah, well, he took him into, what is that, purgatory? Or, you know. It's like I was talking to that young man. I said, you know, we'll talk about rosary beads. Where's that? Okay. Now we'll talk about what you're in. We're going to talk about the Book of Mormon. Was it finished? Did I need an addendum? God said he added the plagues to those people for that. Amen. Know what you're doing. His eyes got pretty big. I think his heart was a little bit convicted. Being made so much better than the angels, as he by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, "Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son." And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, "And let all the angels of God worship him." And of the angels he saith, "Who maketh his angels spirits, and the ministers a flame of fire." But unto the Son he saith, "Thy throne, O God." This is Jesus talking. This is God talking to his Son. "O God, is forever and ever a scepter of righteousness, is the righteousness of thy kingdom. And thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, 'Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool'? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" The first four verses of this chapter emphasize and state Christ's deity, his ascension, resurrection, and sum up that he's got mighty power. He's it. It's all in my Son. God communicated in this first verse. It says, "God who at sundry times and in divers manners," sundry times means several parts, divers means many manners, "spake in the times past unto the fathers by the prophets." Now, God communicated in the Old Testament with man through the prophets. And these were prophets that were chosen by God. And the several parts means many things, but I appreciate again what Brother Copley brought out. In parts, he said, pre-Moses, Moses, and then the prophets. So there was a time. There were different ones that the Lord had chosen at that time to deliver the Word of God. And think of the different ways. He did it by His Spirit. He did it by dreams. He did it by visions. He did it by voice. He did it by stone tablets. And all in all, that reason was by faith. If you really think about it, by faith. He had ravens feed people. He had donkeys talk to people. Yeah, he did. By faith. By faith. We don't know what the vessel that's going to be used, do we? But are we looking up? Are we looking to God? Are we saying, "Lord, I know in my life, You'll do that which is right"? Think of the ones they had. I think about David to be king. There were all the sons walking before old Samuel. Samuel said, "Oh, this one's got to be it. I can see it. Oh, no, this one's got to be it. That one's got to be it. You got any more sons?" And there came that little one. There's that little one. He's it. See, God chose the weak things, didn't he? The lowly things. Kind of confounds the wise, see? That's why it's by faith. We have something special here, hallelujah, that the Lord's given us. And we'll turn here briefly. Numbers 12, 6 through 8, I think, states it very well. Again, just searching the Scriptures to prove these things are so. But Numbers 12, 6 through 8 says, "And he said, Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision. See, the Lord will call you to the things you need to be. Don't put yourself in a place. He will. He'll let you, if you let him, he'll put you in that place you need to be. I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. So there's a vision, a dream. But my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall be he behold. So see, there's three in one verse of different ways that the Lord deals with man in divers ways and manners and to the fathers. Verse 2, happy in these last days. And these are the last days. See, this is the church age. This is so precious. And here's the announcement. You have these wonderful prophets. You have this wonderful deliverer. We had all of these different things to test our faith. Okay? But now, by His Son. This is the Son language. Whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the world. And I have to go back over here. You know where we're going. We're going to John, and we're going to read the first part of John. See, everything is in His Son. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. I love the 14th verse. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? He came for you. I am Alpha. Revelation 22. Not I am the beginning. I am beginning. I am Alpha and Omega. The beginning and the end. He was always there. He was always with the Father. Praise God. Praise God. The veil was removed. You think of the prophets of old like Daniel, who wanted to see more, but it wasn't meant for him. In the, as it says, the last days. Aren't you thankful we're born in the last days? Sometimes we say, oh, it would have been so nice to be back there with Moses, and it would have been nice to see all those things. But what a privilege to where we live, the age we live in, the dispensation that we get to see, all of the things that God has shown us. So the Son language is the complete revelation of the will of God. And by the grace of God, as Paul is talking to them, this is the better messenger. It was the Word. I guess you couldn't get any better than that. Well, I'll give you my Son. So, hallelujah. He will give him his throne, it says. And if you think about that all things were appointed and he's the heir of all things, this is who Christ, or I should say who God wants us to be wed with. The heir of all things. Just the richness of what God is giving us. Hallelujah. Who being in the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. Think of that. This is Jesus we're talking about here. God has this wonderful glory, but the epitome of His glory is His Son. The brightness of His glory is Jesus Christ. How could you think it was in anything else? Do you see what an insult it is to not acknowledge His Son? How personal and intimate, especially this first chapter is. I think it's so sweet. As He says, my Son. And He says, my God. I mean, I love my Son a lot too, but this is, again, this is a higher plane. Hallelujah. So being in the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the power of His Word, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. You know, if you just had the third verse and that's all He really gave us, that would have probably been enough. If you really think about it. Think about everything that says right there in that third verse. It just really hit me as I was studying that. He's everything. He is God's glory. He is the exact image of love. God, who is invisible throughout those ages past, became visible in this life. That we could enter into the Holy of Holies. By the Word, all things consist and hold together. That's Colossians 1:17. Everything. Without Him, nothing consists. You think you can hold things together? You think you got it all under control? Let me tell you something. Be a parent. Right? You know you don't have any control. I'm not kidding you, kids. You listen to mom and dad, but it's just you have to trust in Him. You have to rely on God for things. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. Hallelujah. But His Word is the power. And it holds everything. And again, that next line, and I don't mean to belabor it too much. There may be too much line upon line and precept upon precept, but there's so much in every bit of this. But by Himself, the grace of God, nothing of you. Thank God that He did it. Purge means to completely clean it out. You're in Christ, you're whole. Those sins are forgotten. But again, by Himself, sat down on the right hand of the majesty of God. Okay, verse 4. These Jews had a problem with the angels. They had an idea, and in Galatians 3:19, we won't turn there, but you can look at that. They believed, and it was true in a sense, that the Word of God, or the law, was ordained by angels. So they had a hang up with that. They thought the angels were something pretty special. Angels are. The problem is with people is they start getting, again, off into idols, off into other things, and they'll start worshiping angels and they get their eyes off of Christ. So don't let that fool you. Pretty angel this, my son's an angel. I've heard that. I'm poor people that have lost little children. Well, she's an angel. God forbid she be an angel, because she's not that. See, our nice thoughts, our goodness is often wickedness to God. I hope we understand that. And we need to get away from that. We need to follow the truth. We need to stand and withstand. Hallelujah. But Paul, in the fourth verse, he says, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So he clearly states here that Jesus was better than the prophets, and that He is God's glory, and now He's better than the angels. And the angels are an awesome creation. They did a lot of great things. Just think all the wonderful things that they could do. He said He could have called 10,000 angels to set Him free right there at the cross, couldn't He have? And just one took out a whole army like that. See, they're empowered of God. They can be messenger of God. They can be servants of God. They can do all that. But they're a created thing specifically for God's purpose. God could have just created that, couldn't He? I always remember our precious pastor always saying, you know, it's kind of like a football game, son. You know, we could have been spectators, and He had the spectators and the team and all of this kind of stuff, and He could have predicted the game all the time. But He said He wanted players that could actually go out there and make decisions for themselves. And I kind of got to thinking about that, and I said, you're right. See, He wanted us to be able to praise Him on our own. That's why these ones that say, oh, you're predestinated. You're not predestinated. Whom He foreknew, then He predestinated. Do you understand that? I know we do. Don't let people get us into error. He foreknew. He saw in those ages past that we would believe, that we would be here this evening sharing His Word. So again, the fourth verse, obtained a more excellent name than they. And again, everything is in that name. There's no greater name. Every knee, every tongue shall confess that He is Lord. Hallelujah. So, Christ was never a created angel. Verse 5, for unto which of the angels said He at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? Did He ever say that to the angels? No, He never said that to them, did He? Yeah, I created you guys. But see, this is where people will get funny again. My uncle and I were talking about this. There's many religions, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses. Well, he's a created being. See? He was begotten. Now let's read this. Even if you just read this without studying it too much, just read what the words say. And he said, he at any time to those angels, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. No, I never said that. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. This begotten means to obtain. This is speaking of the resurrection. Okay? And let's prove this with the word of God again. And that's the only way, by the grace of God, you do this. But it's in Acts 13:33. We go back over to Acts 13:33. And it says, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again. Okay, we're talking about the resurrection here. As it is also written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. So, it's interesting how it says again, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him. Do you see that and again? That's being reunited. They're being reunited again. When Christ was raised and took the seat back at the right hand of God and the majesty on high, and again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. This is God speaking to the Lord. What a precious thought. How sweet, how personal that is. Verse 6, and again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. Again, the angels were worshiping Jesus Christ, setting him up again as everything is in my son. Christ is and was the Jews' Messiah. He fulfilled the word down to the last jot and tittle, as we talked about Sunday. I thirst, give me the vinegar. It's finished. Thank you, Lord. I'm done. Have your way. The joy was set before him and it was finished. Boom. Okay? We go back into Isaiah. We can go back into all these things. And it shows and it proves that Jesus Christ is the Messiah for the Jews. This is what Paul and that grave, just the sadness, like he said, he had in his heart for his kinsmen. This is what he was feeling. Verse 6, and again he said, he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, and let all the angels of God worship him. There were no other gods before him. There were no other gods after him. Again, the first begotten again implies that there are others to be begotten. That's the precious thing about this verse. Think about that. The first begotten. If we're a child of God, we're a begotten. Hallelujah. Isn't that precious? We are begotten son of God. If you've accepted Jesus as our Savior, which we have, we are a son of God. There's another begotten. He's the first, and we're to follow. 7. And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and the ministers a flame of fire? Again, the angels are servants. They're due there to do God's will. He enables them with great ability. Verse 8. But unto the Son, he saith, this is God speaking to his own Son. How could you think that he's just another God, that we're all gods, that we were up there beforehand and we're all being born again? Do you read the word of God? But again, they have eyes and they see not. But unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, forever and ever. A scepter or a government of righteousness. And think again, when he was born, the government shall be upon your shoulders. They'll call you Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Savior. Hallelujah. This is him. A scepter or a government of righteousness is the government of thy kingdom. And just think again. The bride is clothed with the righteousness of saints, isn't she? You see the pattern. It works all through there. The word of God just again reaffirms and reaffirms itself over and over and over again. Hallelujah. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. He's above angels. He's above the prophets. He's above the fathers. Just like the Mount Transfiguration there, there were the three, right? They all went away, but there was Jesus. Hallelujah. We're not going to put a temple there or an altar to each one of them. It's just to the Lord. It's all in His Son. There's nothing of ourselves, as we can see here. But the oil of gladness, again, Christ was anointed with that. How important is it for our lives? The need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The need to yield and have the Holy Spirit all over our lives. Precious time we had the last so many days. I could see the Spirit come through here. You could sense the Spirit come through here. Not because of us. Not because of anything that we have done. But because of the love of God. When we'll yield and get out of the way, there's mighty things that can happen in a life. 10. And thou, Lord, in the beginning, hath laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. That was that baby. Can you imagine that? That was that baby that came, that helpless child, and grew up, and was always in subjection to his father up until the end. That's the one that's dealing with us. And we'll sit there and we'll say, and I don't feel special. I don't have anything. I see some heads dropping. Were we murmuring today already? Was the victory stole from us after yesterday? I hope not. We got it all. I mean, we've got it all. Man, you get affixed on Christ and it don't matter, does it? It really doesn't. You know, somebody drives a better car than me, somebody's got a bigger house than me. You know the mansion over there he's got for you? You love him? Brother Hill, again, he stepped into the eye and not seen, and the ear and not heard. He was trying to express it like we know he was. I want to run with that. I want to run with that hope. I want to be affixed with that prize and that treasure. I don't want to get too preachy. I'm sorry. Bible study. They shall perish, but thou remainest. See, it all gets old. Even that. Think how beautiful this earth is. I was in some pretty parts down there south. I was teasing my wife, though, with some of the way my kids were feeling. I had a swollen foot. My back had something on it. I don't know what it was. I said there was a reason the Louisiana Purchase stopped down there around Texas. Just teasing. I shouldn't say that. Okay. See, you need grace. You just didn't realize how much grace you need. But how beautiful this earth is. But then what a wonder the heavens are. You hear our pastor talk about the beautiful heavens and all that. But you know what? It's like a garment. It's just going to fold up and it's going to go away. But Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the beauty that He does, the things that He works. I just, so magnificent, our pastor's hometown. All that's been surrounded in this, the love. I mean, talk about a masterpiece. Talk about a work in the last week, 2 weeks, from his last sermon. I just think in the perfection and the beauty. And that's forever. And that stuff that we see with the eyes, it's not going to be there. And it's incredible. And it was the handiwork of my precious Savior who wants to seat me right with Him in glory. It's His throne. It's His throne. And He says, I want to put you right in my throne. The brightness of His glory. The bride will have her glory, which will be His. But she has her own. It's thrilling. It's thrilling. It's thrilling. Psalm 110:1. And again, I'm going to keep you too long. The first night, you're not going to come back. But Psalm 110:1, where it says, "My God," as he says, "Oh my God." The Lord had done this with his son for a long time. He did. See, they couldn't see this stuff back then. They had to get the veil out of the way. Get us into the Holy of Holies. Get us that the son language. But you'll see in 110:1, it says, the Father, my Lord said to... Well, I better turn there. I'm bad at quoting it sometimes. Let me say it right. The Lord said unto my Lord, "Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." He was already talking this. The Lord said unto my Lord. The word there is Adonai, which is the Father, said to my Lord Adon, which is Son. They were going through, it was there. The government was already given back then. It was all a plan. They knew what was going on. It was all for his son. Hallelujah. Let's go to verse 11. "They shall perish, but thou remainest old. They all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years fail not." Again, forever and ever. It's so complete. Jesus is salvation. It's new every day. Do we really understand what salvation is? I don't. I'm learning every day because it's new. Some people say, "Well, you're saved, aren't you?" Absolutely, I'm saved. Saved as a little guy. Like I said, I got saved, I think, 3 or 4 times because I couldn't remember when I did or not. But it's new every day. And I want to be a complete work of salvation. And as the Word of God talks about that complete work, by the grace of God, I know what our pastor really was wanting. Like I said, he wanted to live until the coming of the Lord. Brother Copley did. I want to. I believe you want to. But that's the complete. Being saved from that tribulation. Boom. Hallelujah. But as our wonderful pastor, so gracious, he said, "Well, the subway's okay." And he's dancing because he got there the subway this evening. Hallelujah. "But to which of the angels said he at any time?" Did he say this to the angels again? "Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool?" Well, wait a second. I thought we just read that back in Psalms. We did. He's telling us again. And again, and again. We're a weak creature, aren't we? But aren't we glad again that the age that we're in, at this time, guys, this is for us. Moses was great. Ruth was a wonderful thing. They're precious, but they're not offered the place that we are this evening. They didn't see this stuff. They saw some mighty things. They saw some wondrous things happen. But the complete plan is that God gives his son a bride. And that's what we're after. Hallelujah. But he never said to those angels at any time, "Sit on my right hand." What he told those angels is, "You do this, you do this, you do this, you do this, you do this." And he's still telling them that all the time. And that's wonderful. And I'm happy for those angels. And I appreciate what my uncle said the other day. He said, "Well, see those angels." He said, "You know, a lot of them left, obviously, when Lucifer, you know, went away and all that. But those ones that stayed, you know, you think it's obedience, you think it's this, you think it's a lot of things." He said, "No." He says, "I just think it's fear." I agree with you, Uncle. I think it's fear. I'm listening to you. I love him so. The Lord's given him such sight, such a precious. I love him so. Just keep praying for him. But they saw a lot of things happen. And I'm sure however they're up there doing what they're doing, praise God. Okay. 14. "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" And really, it does finish with the next verse, because here's the answer. "Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." That's where we're at. Isn't that precious? That is right where we are at. We have been led. We have been shepherded. And the shepherd has said, "There it is." Okay, we've had that wonderful pastor. It's like, okay, there's that road. Okay, I've taken you all the way to here. And here's the road. And the road goes right there. And right at the end of that road, there's your promise. There's everything you have. There's your inheritance. Okay? Now, you guys, you can see it. It's there. And we're going to go send people in there. We're going to have them go look at it and everything. They're going to bring back a lot of different reports. And I say, the giants in the land. There's all these different things going on in there. But you know what? By faith, it's just right there. and look at all the things that God has done for us. It's right there. That's where I want to go. Is that where you want to go? Oh, hallelujah. What a precious thing. See, the angels didn't sit at the right hand. They're to minister. And we are, as it says here, the heirs of salvation. Now, how much of that salvation are you going to take? Are we going to be the joint heir of the fullness of God? Or are we going to stop? The generation that started didn't get it. Had to get that out of the way. But we see it. Hallelujah. We see it. Don't let them slip. Okay. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, again for letting us share your word. We thank you again that you're here. Thank you that we focus on you again. You're merciful. And again, as you've encouraged, here we go, Lord. We're going on. By your grace, we're going on. We're nothing. We're insufficient, insignificant. But in you, we're everything, Lord. Be our sufficiency. Help our confidence to always be in you. We thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.